One thing a new administration will have in abundance next year is decisions. If it wants to get anything done, it's going to need to make sure it has good decision makers matched with good decision-making processes. That's the gist of findings from a series of roundtable discussions conducted by the Partnership for Public Service and the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Joining me with more, IBM Center Executive Director Dan Chenock. Dan, good to have you back.
Thanks, Tom. Good to be here.
I guess my first question is, with all these roundtables and these great reports you've been coming out, how many bagels has your group gone through?
Food is a powerful incentive for great thought.
All right, so this latest gambit is to look at federal decision-making, which frankly can look complicated from the outside, and I guess even, as you know, from the inside.
Yes, there's a lot of things that happen that come at a leader, especially in the transition in the first year of a new administration, and it can be overwhelming. And that was really one of the premises of the roundtable, was to understand what best practice is across the industry in past government examples, and provide a set of tools and practices that can help a new president and his or her administration get off to a fast start.
Now, very often, you know, decisions are situational, because if there's an emergency or a crisis, that's one type of a decision. But if you're the new secretary of XYZ and you pretty much know what your marching orders are going to be with respect to policy, that's a different situation for decisions. So did you look at the variations in situations that might cause a different process for decision making?
Yeah, we did. And an example of something that we learned from was the Recovery Act, which was implemented at the same, basically the same time that the Obama administration was entering office and taking the reins from the Bush administration, dealing with the economic situation that was occurring in 2008-2009. And there were a set of decisions that the administration had to go through to implement its programs generally, as secretaries were hitting the ground running. And then there were a set of imperatives that had to be addressed through a process that was more like the immediate reaction that you were describing earlier, where the administration set up a set of tools and organizations to take an enterprise view as to how to implement recovery successfully.
That's right, because there was the banking crisis was really in mid-term there. It spanned two terms, I guess I should say, and so they had to do something quickly. It was almost like the Great Depression, you know, when Franklin Roosevelt came in. So what did we learn about decision-making from that period?
Well, it's interesting. The author of this report is Ed DeSev, who was the senior advisor to Vice President Biden for the recovery implementation in the White House. And Ed put in place a set of enterprise criteria, organizational relationships across agencies, and then implementation pathways down to the state and local level where the recovery dollars were spent. And that kind of three-legged stool, if you will, where you're looking to implement a set of good processes and tools using analytics and risk management. You set an enterprise framework where you bring together all the key stakeholders, and then you drive that framework down to the local level where decision-making actually gets implemented. It was very important in terms of success, and it was a model that we learned from for the report.
Because the implication of that is that any decision, especially something in the federal context, which is a complicated one, a decision has ramifications that you might not immediately know about, especially on other groups, other agencies, and so forth. So you need to have those vectors of understanding, I guess, in order to make a decision such that everyone understands why you did it.
That's absolutely correct. Decisions that involve government-wide processes or government-wide issues like the cross-agency goals for the administration currently, of which there are 15, where they're looking to bring agencies together around key outcomes across, for example, DOD and VA in terms of reducing veterans' homelessness or reducing crimes on reservations across the country. Those are examples of missions where agencies come together and where the implementation happens at a local level. And it's really important to work with the stakeholder communities that are helping to achieve results and progress that work with the constituencies that are basically the beneficiaries of the government program.
Because when you do make a decision at the policy level, say responding to a disaster or something that the Treasury needs to do, that leads to a cascade of decisions that happen at the lower level. So I guess maybe the greater the clarity at the top, the more decision-making will be effective at the lower levels.
One of the things the report pointed out is that it's important to create roles and responsibilities for each level of player And this can involve people within and across the government, at state and local level, and also the academic and nonprofit and industry partners with government, all of whom help to drive success in terms of public sector programs and implementation.
We're speaking with Dan Chenock, the executive director of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. And one of the recommendations that I noticed throughout the report is to have someone concerned with data and information, an advocate for getting data into decision-making. And this seems to be a really important emerging theme.
Yeah, this administration has done a lot in terms of improving an evidence agenda and using data for making decisions through budget processes and regulatory processes, personnel and acquisition. All of the government activities that occur naturally, that can occur basically from a process standpoint, decisions can get made, but are made much better if they're informed by data. And the report talked about both within agencies and across the government creating analytical capacities to help people at the top of agencies and also to help decision makers throughout government, program managers, chief information officers, chief financial officers, to be able to leverage that information through effective use of analytics, just as industry has done over the last several years.
And I guess now the federal government, as industry has, there's a lot more tools and technologies available to make that happen faster.
Yeah, that's right. And the report laid out a number of the tools and approaches, including the use of essentially something called strategic foresight, which is looking ahead, being able to get your head above the sort of the current crisis and understanding the ramifications of decisions and programs and actions and how they might play out over several years or even a decade or two. And so placing a long-term context. Another example is the risk management framework. Agencies have learned a lot in recent years about how to implement risk management and the understanding of how different operational, cybersecurity, financial risks might manifest themselves and how to respond to them to be resilient should those risks turn into issues or problems.
Now, we have that 100 days or first 200 days type of phenomenon that seems to have settled in on what people expect of new presidencies. So is it important to, I guess, focus on what you really want to get done so that extraneous decisions don't have to be made and you can really concentrate on showing success early?
Yeah, and that's a key recommendation for the report is to create agendas where you prioritize the most important elements for a new administration, understanding that the government marches on and there are many, many decisions that will occur in order for the government to work with the American people to deliver services and provide information in different ways. And so creating processes and frameworks and accountability that basically allows leaders to focus on key priorities while enabling local government officials at the local level, at the state level, at the federal level, who are actually implementing programs, to continue doing so effectively.
It sounds like there are many decisions to be made before noon on Inauguration Day.
That's right. During the transition, there are many, many different choices that a transition team addresses. And I saw this when I was working on the Obama transition in 2008. And creating a framework to prioritize what's the most important elements for the new leaders who are going to come in after January 20th. What are the most important issues they can capture, and how can they help make decisions given all of the different issues that they'll face when they chief office is something that a transition team can really focus on.
And is it wise for the incoming transition team to try to learn what it can from the outgoing one, even if they are, say, from differing parties and might have not been too likable to one another during the campaign?
So that's a key theme that the work we're doing with the Partnership for Public Service generally has taken on, and the Partnership Center for Presidential Transition is focusing on that in a variety of different areas. A successful transition really involves both the transition out and enabling the current administration to define areas that have worked and challenges still ahead, and creating a handoff to the new administration. And the 2008 transition was actually a fairly good model for an administration that really placed a priority on enabling a smooth transition. And I think this year promises to build on that.
All right. Dan Chenock is Executive Director of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Thanks so much for that insight.
Thank you, Tom.
You can read the latest report and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.